The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places tucked away.
A lot of the walks I've talked about in the podcast to places that I remember going as a bab and returned to. Well, this is a walk, an entire walk. It's a special experience that I remember. It's a special time of year. And you'll get the idea anyway as I carry on. We used to spend most of our Christmas times at Nana Paul's. At this particular time, we'd been there about 5 years, I think. And our council house was just getting built on the Cape Moor estate by the Hen & Chicks. So I think one of my aunties was just about to have a bab. And they'd always go back to me nana's to have a bab, because my auntie Frieda used to bawn the babs, not just for the family, but for everybody really around Eel Street and Portway Road and Little Eel Street. So we were up at Nan and Grandad Dakin's, but they were invited down and all. And there were folks that used to work with me aunties and uncles, massive family. And the kids would play in the veranda, or they'd go in the brewers, and the wenches would be getting all the fittle ready. And the lads would probably go to the Traveller's Rest for a quick half while that was happened. And then they all come back, and we were all in, like spread between the back room, which was like the living area where the big table was, where everybody used to sup night, and the best room. The best room would have been open later on in the day. So there was probably about 40 of us in there. And everybody was chatting, and folks was telling stories. And we were getting pucked up by all my aunties and uncles and all that. And it just started with a light flurry of snow. Just very, very light. And my nana, I can remember my nana Paul to this day, had opened the back door. And then I said, y'all lot, watch it now, because some of them had to go up to Newbury Lane, some of them down the Braids. Y'all lot, watch it now, because if this comes down, you're all going to get stuck. And they went, all right then, Mum. Grandad Murray was stood at the corner, as he always was, in his pinstripe blue suit and his white shirt. And he was a tall bloke. And he had, like, jet black hair with this, almost like this flash of white down the middle. Fearsome-looking bloke, Irish, very, very quiet. I can't ever remember him pucking any one of us babs up, really. He was like that distant patriarch of everybody. Well, anyway, we ignored me nana, day we, and it was, we carried on eating, drinking, singing, singing Christmas songs, telling Christmas stories and stuff like that. And then about 3 o'clock, I looked out again, and it was like coming down a bit thicker then. And I said to me dad, because we got to go all the way back up to past Moat Farm in Langley, and it was quite a climb really. And I said to me dad, I says, Harry, you better think about going. I said, it's coming down a bit thicker now, and you don't want to be struggling with these babs. Excuse me. Now, me nana Dakin, air worried about everything. So I said to my granddad Dakin, come on, Harry, because his name is Andy Noor. Come on, Harry. Kath, that was me dad's wife, says, Kath, get the babs now, and we'll go and start. And the little un was only still in the pram, really. So my dad says, well, I tell you what, he says, yo three, go and take the bab in the pram while you can push the pram, and I'll bring the others if it gets any worse. And my mother says, Harry, you should come now. You know, they was having a bit of a rag, really. Harry, you should come now. These babs don't want to walk in the snow. And we was going, yeah, we do, me and Biggin, who was about 14 months, 16 months older than me. So I'd be about 3 and a half, maybe 4. I don't think he started school, so he might have just been 5, something like that. But we don't want to go. We wanted to stop. We all were cousins and everything. My mother says, oh, bloody stop then. And I got me nan and granddad, put our Gary, who was a bab, in the pram, wrapped the sends up, and then said ta-ra to everybody. And off they went, you know, up towards Langley and all that. And me and my dad and our big un, we carried on playing with my cousins. My dad was singing with my Uncle Bill and my Uncle Eric. Uncle Eric was at the Joanna. Because they sang, see, round the clubs as the Murray brothers all round Albury, further afield. They even got in the finals of the Carol Leveson, I suppose what it to be, New Faces or something, to the finals at the Hippodrome in Brummagem. And if you'd got that, you'd get like a TV contract. But when they got there, this is what my dad said, they were told by the organiser that the winner had already been chosen. So it was really worth them going. And I think that decided them then, because I think if they'd have won that, they might have given up the jobs and had a crack at it. But because they die and it sort of was disillusioned them a bit, they just played around the clubs, really. But they were blooming brilliant, I tell you. The afternoon went on. It started to get dark. Nana had another look, and now it was deep outside and it was coming down really fast. And I said to me dad, Harry, I'm a telling you now, get them babbies wrapped up and start going, you know, start walking home. And he had a look himself and he says, oh, all right, Nana Paul. He got his coat on. They wrapped way up. Some of my cousins was a-stopping. Some day I've fair to go, only up the top of Portway Road. So that were very fair. But we got a fair whack to go. And I remember me nan leaning over and kissing me on the cheek. And we were really, really tight, you know, like warm as toast tight. And all my cousins give me an hug and all my aunties and uncles. It took about a half hour for them to give me a hug to get out of the house. And we got out of the house and we trudged up past the Trevelly's Rest. And my father says, I tell you what we'll do. We'll go along the cut, go over Churchbridge, go along the cut, come up through Langley, the back of Barnford Park, and we'll be here in 5 minutes. And we said, all right, Dad. So we both started to trudge, and it was like past our coats, really. And by the time I'd probably got halfway along the cut towpath, it was about 25 yards, I started to grizzle. I can't do this, I don't want to do this. Oh, I'm cold, Dad, I'm cold. And he was going, just get a bit further, because it now would, you know, I was still a bit of a weight. At 3, I was still a bit of a weight to carry. Our big un never murmured about anything. You know, he could blooming fall off and break his leg and he wouldn't happen his gob. So he was like just trudging on, got his head down, covered in snow. He was just trudging on, one foot after the other. And my dad was saying, go on, big un, you know, keep going. Anyway, we turned at the back of Churchbridge and started to walk all the way around Langley Green. And it was really eerie, this was, because when you got to Langley Green, all Broughton Wilsons were on the left. And even though it was like chocking it down as snow, it made it even eerier. Our grandad Dakin used to tell me these stories because it was like phosphorus pits the other side on the wall, or chemical pits. And this white smoke used to like drift over the walls, and he'd take me down to Langley to do some shopping, and he'd say, that's the breath of the ghosts of the folks that have died in the phosphorus pits. I used to be frit to death, you know, I was only a bab. But when we come through Langley Green, the lights was all sort of muted because the snow was, and it made it even eerier and really, really, really frightening. Well, by that time, I could hardly walk, and it was deep then. And I said to my father, Dad, I can't go any further. And he said to Biggin, am you all right walking? And he went, yes, Dad. Because I say, he would never, ever moan about anything. you know, my elder brother, never moan about anything. He'd just get on with it. And what happened, happened. But I couldn't, you know, I was a right grizzle-yed, a right mizzle-yed. So my dad says, well, come on then. And he lifted me up and he put my legs one either side of his his neck on his shoulders. And he says, I want you to just hold on to me head. He'd got a cap on. I want you to hold on to me head and I don't want you to wriggle because it's going to be hard enough as it is because I'm going to have to line into the wind and do the best that we can now. And I says, all right, Dad, I short. And he said, Biggin, you go on in front of me and I will follow you. And we got round by Elaine's that was at the bottom and started to go up Langley High Street. And it was like drifting up the doers of the Shaps and drifting up where the Crosswell's in. And there was an old fella by the park and he must have known me Dad from working at Tackles's. And he went, all right, Harry. And he went to Harry, he says, struggling there with the babs. And he went, nah, not really, them being as good as gold. I mean, I was like mizzling all the time. And he says, well, mind how you go, because he says, I've just come down from the back of Bars Road in Langley. And when you get to Barnford Park, he says, there's drifts all over the shop. Well, that was the road we was going. But I don't think about that. But my dad says, it's all right then, son, we'll carry on. You don't mind how you go and have a good Christmas and stuff like that. And we tried twice. Right at the top of Langley High Street, there's a bridge called Uncle Ben's Bridge that the cut goes underneath. And at first, the big un got up. He like slowly, one foot in front of the other, got up to the top of the bridge. And me feather leaned forward. And by now, I could feel his heart pumping through his coat. And I could feel him getting warm through this coat. And I sort of dropped my hand underneath his cap and the sweat would have pouring off his head. And he said, are you all right, Bab? And I said, yes, Dad, am you all right? And he says, oh, I'm all right. But he was like really breathing heavy. And we got halfway up Uncle Ben's bridge, which over it, oh, you know, it's on your bed, 15 foot to get up. And he does slump, but he sort of leant against the wall in the snow. And I thought, oh, we are going to, you know, oh, Dad, we can't go in. I'm going to die. If you can't get up there, I'm going to die. We'll die in the snow. And he went, we are going to die. I'm just taking a breather, son. And he had about 5 minutes. The big un stood at the top of the bridge. He had about 5 minutes, get his breath back. And then we sort of carried on. But as I looked to the left, you could see down the cut. And then as I looked to the right, you could just see Tifford Lake in the distance. And it was sort of beautiful because all the trees were covered in this white dust in the snow. And the snow was sort of reflecting off the water. And it was just a gorgeous, gorgeous Boston sight, I tell you. I can still see it now. So after we'd had a rest, we got up top of the bridge and you had to go sort of left and round past what was Mercer's Yard many, many years ago. And you could hear the pounding in the yard where the armour had come down on the pounding thing. And you sort of climbed, luckily, wore too bad. You got up this incline. It must have been in a sort of, I don't know, like a alcove from the snow, because the snow seemed to have drifted up by the Royal Oak, but had missed this side of the road. So we hit the pavement, really, when we got to Causeway Green Road. And so we crossed the road, obviously no traffic, went past Langley Library, and it was a bit sheltered there. The wind wore too bad. So we was making sort of good progress in a way. And we come out of Bars Road, and you sort of come into Farm Road, and you hit the bottom of Barnford Park, where there's a track that goes all up the one side, or then you turn left and go through the park. And my dad says, right, what we'll do is we'll go past allotments and we'll go up this track because the trees will have sheltered it a bit. And then what we've got to do then, we've got to turn into the park and cut across the park to get to Moak Road. And he was right, really, to be perfectly honest. He was right, because once you got into the bit that was shielded, you got out of that and then you went under the trees, which was part of the track, There was only like little flurries of snow because the trees overhung this little track, so covered it really. And my dad could sort of have a breather. So we stopped there for about 5 minutes and he asked if we were all right. And the big un was probably frustrated just by now. But he just says, yes, Dad, I'm all right. No worries, you know, I'm all right. Don't worry about it. and he asked me and I was all right then. So I said, yes, I'm okay. I'm okay, Dad. And by this time, it was like red hot. So he must have been soaked with sweat under his thick coat. He lifted me up and he put me down for a couple of minutes. And he got his handkerchief out and he wiped the sweat off his forehead. And he put his cap back on and he says, right, lads. He says, this is going to be the toughest bit. Because we've got to get through the park, up the slope and across the field and out of the main gates into the moat road. Once we hit moat road, it was only like a little bit down that road and then across into the back end of Landswood Road, and we could get to my nana's by then. So he put me back up on his shoulders, put me one foot either side of his shoulders, told me to hang on, and we got to the gate. We turned into the park, and it was sort of uneven, really. There were massive big drifts, and then there was just like flurries, and then you'd hit another big drift, and but it's always a slow incline past the putting green, and we'd got to get across to the tennis courts. And he said to me, well, what we're going to do is we're going to get level with the putting green, and then I'm going to go round the back and cut across the football pitches. Well, he really struggled to get up that incline, I could tell you. It took ages and ages, and he was gasping for breath and gasping for breath. And I think it was because it was a bit slippy underfoot and all. And then he turned to the right and made a track round the back of Pudding Rock. And we walked round, took us ages and ages to get up there. And I thought he's going to now and again he like stumbled a bit, and I thought he's going to fall on the floor, and my face is going to be there in the snow. But he died. We eventually got round the other side, and he sort of stopped for a minute, and I says, "What's the matter, Dad? Am you all right?" And he says, "Yes, son, but I want to show you something before we carry on." And he said, "What?" And he said, "I'm going to take it off my shoulders." just so we can get up this hill, because I think I'm going to struggle, because the hill was like uneven and it had all rocks and stuff on it, the Pudding Rock did. And he says, but when we get to the top, I'm going to put you back on my shoulders and then the big un's going to stand beside me. So I come off his shoulders and it was probably about 30 foot to climb up the side. It was all covered in snow to climb up the side of this rock. But we made it to the top. And I said, well, what we come up here for? We should be going back. Nana and Mum will be worried about me, and Grandad will be waiting for me. And I said, he says, I want to show you something, son. And I said, what? And he said, we got to the top of Pudding Rock and we faced Albury. And he lifted me up on his shoulders and he says, look at that, son. Have you said anything any more beautiful than that? And I looked across and you sort of, Langley fell away, and then the plain of Albury was there in front of you, and then right upon the left was Rowley Bonk. And because the snow was quite thick, the lights from the houses, the lights from Albright and Wilson's, the lights from the furnaces and the factories and the cupolas, they sort of glimmered and shimmered. And then Rowley Bonk was sort of caught in this grey, misty thing. But it was just beautiful. It was like it had a shawl on ermine around it. And I just stood there. And you know when you're out in the snow, how it dulls everything? Just dull sounds. Well, you couldn't hear the pounding of the mills. It was just like a muffled sound. And you couldn't hear all the smoshing of all the machinery and that. And it was almost like it was a very, very quiet hum. A very peaceful, quiet hum. And I was on his shoulders. And it was like sitting on the shoulders of giants. And I said to him, I said, it's like being a giant looking down at Albury, Dad, ain't? And he just smiled and he said, son, when you're older, you'll probably remember saying that. And I said, but it is. He says, I'm here, right above Albury Town, and it's the most beautiful sight that I've ever seen. And I walk out, and the big un walk out, and my father was like warm as toast, and we were there, and there was nobody else around, and it was like our minute, our moment, in our time, in our lives, that we know that stay with us forever. And we must have been there maybe seconds, I don't know, maybe minutes, but it seemed, for the time we were there, it was timeless. And I was sat on the shoulders of a giant that day. And then we come back and he says, right, that's it then, let's get back. And he tapped me on the leg and he told Big Un to turn round. And we got across the field, past the tennis court, into Mount Road. And it wore too bad, really. It had baited a bit. And we went past the grammar school, Weir Ard Gur, when I were a bit older. And I can't remember, I think it was Matthews Road, but that might be wrong. Matty Road, that's it. We walked along Matty Road, across the road, and up this little slope, rather than climb up the hill towards Mount Farm School, and walked the long road down Lansdowne Road. And then he took me off his shoulders, and we walked up Nana's Path, knocked the front door. "Where have you all been?" my mum said to me dad. And I said, I've been sitting on the shoulder of giants, mother. And he said, "What?" And he says, "I'll tell you later, my dad says." He says, "Let's get these wet clothes off, give these babs a bath, in the tin bath by the fire." And he says, "And then we'll have some hot chocolate or some hot milk." And we sat there after and went over all of the journey and told me granddad about everything. It was just a fantastic walk and a fantastic experience. One of the greatest experiences of my life. And I shall remember it to this day, being there on top of Pudding Rock, on the shoulder of a giant, and seeing one of the most beautiful sights that I'd ever seen or ever would see again. And I'm what now? 70 year in age, and it was 65 year ago, and it's still as clear as day to me. Every step that he took, every step that the big un took, every exchange that we had with that old bloke in Langley, everything is just as clear as day. What a story, standing on the shoulders of giants.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.